Let's face it, there are good comedians and not so good comedians.
Yeah, we want the good kind.
104.3 The Shark's Brian Wright is on a mission to introduce you to the greatest comic minds in South Florida and beyond. Show you where you can go for comedy and how you can support the local scene. It's your one-stop shop for all things funny, with a healthy amount of idiotic behavior from a man-child in his 30s.
Dude, would you grow up?
104.3 The Shark presents Comedy Bites with Brian Wright.
Welcome to Comedy Bites with Brian Wright. I hope you're happy, healthy, and surrounded by funny people, because that's the best way to live. Let's be honest. Can't thank you enough for listening. Really excited for my guest today, who's performing live this weekend, November 14th through 17th, at the Comedy Club at Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Sold his first joke to Jay Leno for $50, and the rest is history. Emmys, Peabody Awards, he's got them. All right, writing for The Daily Show. He now tours as a headlining comedian all over the country, but his day job is being a warm-up comic for The Late Show with his good friend Stephen Colbert. It's Paul Mercurio. Thanks for joining us, dude.
Hey, man. It's great to be on. Yeah, I do the warm-up now at The Late Show. I was at The Daily Show with Stephen, and we go back to The Daily Show together, and that was a trip, man. It's a crazy time to be doing news and stuff.
Hey, oh, my goodness. I can only imagine. Well, yeah, one of the things I wanted to get into, because I know that you have something in common with the late, great Greg Giraldo, which is you were both lawyers before getting into comedy. You being a Wall Street guy, as a matter of fact. Tell me a little more about that and your background. Was comedy always in the back of your head as a goal, or were you convinced up to that point that being a lawyer was going to be your deal?
No, I didn't think I was going to do law, but then comedy rather than that. But then I'm like, how could I break my mother's heart? I know. Look, I'm a middle-class Italian kid from Rhode Island, and I went to Georgetown Law School, ended up in New York doing M&A deals.
Oh, wow.
And it's funny, because people always ask me, like, what's mergers and acquisitions, M&A deals? And I liken it to, like, when you eat, like, you have a salad and you have a steak, that's the acquisition, and then a couple of days later, you take a really huge dump. That's the merger. And my job, I was the colon.
Okay.
I'm not kidding you. When you tell somebody you're a corporate lawyer, which is what I was, that's considered the worst, because, you know, you put people out of business, you know, you merge companies and there are layoffs. And one guy one day said to me, he goes, you guys are like, you probably kill kittens. And I'm like, no, we would outsource that. And I started making short films when I got out of law school, and then I started writing jokes as a hobby. I don't know why. And I always loved, I don't know, I know you're a comedy fan. I loved watching late night comics on TV. Mm-hmm. I begged my parents when I was a little kid to stay up if there was a comedian on. And I loved everybody, like Steve Martin and, you know, and you name it, you know, Carlin, all these guys. So anyway, I started writing jokes. And then at one point I had like 10 pages of jokes. I would have a secret passworded file at my office, so none of the people at the law firm knew what it was. Mm-hmm. And then one night Jay Leno was a private entertainment at a function we were invited to, and I went and I printed out the jokes, and I go, look, I don't know if you need jokes, but I'm never going to use these. You can have them. He's like, okay. He really sounds like he's letting helium out of a balloon very slowly. He's like,
very uniquely Jay Leno.
Yeah, and it really is. Like, it's not like a thing. It's like it's almost like he's not breathing. You just want to go, breathe. And then he goes, come back here. I go, what? I start to walk away. I was so nervous. He goes, you want me to put your name and your phone number on here? So I know how to reach it. Here I am, like Mr. Wall Street. I didn't put my name on. And then 2 days later, my phone rings, and this is what I hear when I pick up the phone. Hey, it's Jay Leno. It's Paul, man. Now, I had told my friend David, who likes to do impressions, not as for a living, just to do them, that I met Jay Leno, and I thought he was pulling a prank.
Yep.
So I went, yeah, really funny, David. He goes, not really. It's Jay Leno. I go, yeah, right. He goes, no, really. I go, and then I actually said to Jay Leno, you do a lousy Jay Leno.
Oh, my God. What was his reaction to that?
He goes, I think I do a pretty good knee. I'm like, oh, God, I'm ruining this.
You're like, I still don't believe you.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. What's your wife's first name? Mavis. Okay, that was too easy. And then he said, I read your stuff. I need material for the Tonight Show monologue, and I'll hire you to send in jokes. And he goes, you know, if I use something, I'll pay $50 a joke. He goes, by the way, what do you do for a living? I go, I'm a lawyer. He goes, I knew it. I go, why? He goes, you write like a lawyer. Your setups are way too wordy. You write a joke, not a contract, for God's sake. Right? And then three days later, he called me. I'm going to do one of your jokes on the Tonight Show. And he paid me $50 for the joke.
Oh,
and
man.
It just blew my head off my shoulders. And I became obsessed with writing jokes. I mean, I think what happened was, you know, you're a lawyer, you're a banker. It's not a creative endeavor, really. It's more an advisory endeavor, right? Mm-hmm. Then I created something that came out of this box that I've been watching my whole life. And people laughed at it. And now they're laughing at my stuff.
Oh, that's got to feel extremely gratifying, validating.
Yeah, yeah, it was. And then he said to me, try the jokes out before you can send them to me. And this is how the stand-up started was, he said, go to open mic nights. For those listening, you don't know what I'm talking about. Like, wherever you live, there's a bar room. Somewhere in your town, there's probably an open mic night where you do, you know, poets, folk singers, comics. And one of the places I worked was in the Bowery of New York. I would sneak out of work. I was living a secret double life, and it was called Downtown Beirut 2 was the name of the place.
Oh, wow.
And I loved it too. Yeah, they were franchising them, apparently. And and it was basically they dealt drugs out of there, and a hooker worked out of there. And wow. There was a sign in the men's room door that said, the toilet seats only to be used to go to the bathroom, not to cut coke. Thank you, the management. And it said, thank you, the management.
When you have to put a sign up, that's bad.
Exactly. And then that was like the start. But then the two worlds started to collide. And like one night I was waiting to go on stage at the same club. And there was a scuffle at the pool table. There's a guy on stage playing Blowing in the Wind, like bad, like even worse than Dylan's voice. And then there's a scuffle at the pool table. This guy runs out of the bar, and the other guy grabs the side of his neck, and he's like bleeding from the side of his neck. And he had sliced him with a box cutter. But the guy he cut was drunk, so he didn't like really pass out. He was just wandering around screaming, I'm going to get him. I know where he lives. His girlfriend's crying. Oh, my God, look at my boyfriend. I'm going to get him. Oh, my God, look at the ass. And my friend, the guy just keeps playing. Like,
oh my God.
He's not getting off stage. And then I'm supposed to be next. I think the show's over, and I'm walking out, and I hear, all right, you guys ready for some comedy?
Oh, God.
And I go on stage. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, it was crazy time, you know.
Oh God, I can only imagine. But actually, makes a lot of sense though that you'd be a perfect candidate for the Daily Show with the lawyer and the comedian duo. That's got to be a rare thing, no? Or is there more of you out there?
Yeah, I mean, there's some that left. You know, Geraldo went to law school. There's another guy, Mike Sweeney, who's now the head writer for Conan. He was a criminal prosecutor, criminal defense lawyer, I think, in New York, and then he left. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's in the water. It's good though, because I am good at debating because of the law thing. And I'm, and you have to write with like a level of like detail as a lawyer. And I think to be a good joke writer has to be detailed. So I think they're transferable skills, but I do get in confrontations. And my wife's like, you gotta just stop. But I feel like I'm right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm right. Like you know, everybody's, I feel like they want to manipulate you. Like I was at the checkout and I had 8 items on the express lane belt. And the guy goes to me, you want a bag for those? I'm like, yeah. He goes, you do? I go, yeah. He goes, and then he looks at me, he goes, like, I have 2 heads. He goes, you want a bag? I go, yeah. He goes, you want a bag? I go, it's 8 items. He goes, you want a bag? I go, it's 8 loose items.
Come on.
And then I have to say something, right? I go, yeah, like, no, give me a live octopus. He'll carry it all home, you know? And it's like, and then so it becomes this like, you know, I had a woman come up to me, right? And I like to improvise with the audience. And it's a one-man show that I've been doing, and I'm going to be continuing to do it, where I bring people on stage and they tell stories from their lives. And so I'm talking to people. It's complete improvisation. And this woman says to me after the show, I really enjoyed your show, but, you know, it would be nice. You notice you talk to the men and the women, but you talk to the men a little bit more than you did to the women in terms of time. It'd be nice if you could talk to them the same amount of time. And I said, this is why I talk to men more than I talk to women. Yeah. And I meant it. And then I said to her, you owe me an apology. She goes, what do you mean? I go, we live in a society where people think just because you have an opinion, we want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I said, you know, this is a complete improv. It doesn't, life isn't fair. I said, are you like a 12-year-old child? Like you can't, well, I got to go up. I got to talk to a woman for a minute, to a man for a minute, to a transgender gerbil for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Like where does it end? You know?
No,
and I
absolutely.
Said, you know what I always needed? I always needed my own human resources department following me around from show to show. So thanks a lot. Like,
yeah.
And, you know.
No, I totally get it. I'm glad that you brought that up because I'm a big fan of your show, Permission to Speak, even though I've only seen it online. It's such a fun idea. Tell us some more about how that came to be, because I did go to subscribe to your YouTube channel last night, which has got some hilarious stuff on there. I suggest anybody go check it out. I watched the video called The Problem with Lying About Polio, and I was rolling. I wanted to ask you more about that, the one with the parents who raised their kids Jewish.
So the premise of the show is, if we talk, we connect. If we connect, maybe we realize we have more in common than we think. It's a divisive time, not a big, heavy message, but I found in doing the road that, you know, like people talk to, if you talk to them, not just crowd work where you're like, hey, I'm going to talk to you about your hat. And then I'm as an artifice, like just so that I can do my joke about hats. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, he's so clever. He just off the cuff came up with a great joke about hats. Like, I hate that stuff. Just do your stupid joke about a hat, like, unless you're really interested in the hat. So I'm interested in real conversations with people, and it grew and grew and grew. And it's what people see at the Hard Rock shows at the Comedy Club this weekend, where I just talk to people either in the audience or bring them on stage. And the stories have been incredible. And there's stories that are like, if we sat in a room as writers and be like, you can't write this stuff. Nobody would believe it, you know? So I bring this guy on. Well, I look to my left one night and I just randomly pick people out of the audience. That's it. Like, it's not whatever. Right. And I say, What brings you here? The guy has crutches, but not crutches like he broke something, but like he has MS or something. And he goes, oh, I have to take my father to the airport. And he points to his right. And I go, well, where's your father? He goes, right there. I go, him? He goes, yeah. So the guy with the crutches is like 38, Travis. His father's 44. Okay. He's his stepfather. His mother met him at a mobile station pumping gas, and they ended up getting married. This is his father.
Wow.
So I bring the guy on stage with the crutches and his father, quote unquote, and I go, well, what do you have? He goes, I have polio. I go, oh, wow. I go, that's rough. He goes, yeah. I go, well, how did your kids handle it? What did you tell him? He goes, well, I told him I was injured in Vietnam. The police starts laughing, right? And then I go, he goes, but I got a problem. He goes, what? Well, my daughter was little when I told her. Now she's 18. And the other day she goes, Daddy, were you really injured in Vietnam? And he's like, oh, crap. I forgot I lied to her. I got to fix that.
Dude, I tell you, it's so great the way he tells it, too. And
he's like, and so charming. And I like to talk to people with, if they have a malady of some kind, because a lot of times people don't talk to them because they feel awkward and they treat them like they're broken and they're not. So
absolutely.
I'm very direct about stuff, you know, and I think that's the other thing that we do is, like, I try to just be very honest and direct. Like, there is a guy, you just hear these stories and you're like, he's a 22-year-old guy. He's gay. And I said, when did you come out of the closet? And he's on stage in front of everybody. He goes, I was 19. I go, how was it? He goes, oh, it was rough. I go, why? He goes, well, you know, my father. I go, what? They didn't approve. He goes, no, actually, I told them. And my father said, funny you should mention that. I'm gay too.
Oh, wow.
And I'm a cross dresser. Right. And all I'm thinking is, who tops their kid in that moment?
Yeah, that's a good
19 years he's got it bottled up inside. Let the kid have the moment.
He stole his thunder, coming out the closet moment.
It's like, you're gay, you don't know gay. When I was your age, I walked 12 miles in the snow to meet Bette Midler. That's gay right there.
Can I have anything?
Exactly.
I love it.
I can't even have my identity. We had a transgender person on stage. She was great. We had so these stories just come, and it happens at the Comedy Club too. And I've been doing it in New York, and I'm going to take it on the road. And there are clips on my website too, paulmercurio.com. It's really like a different kind of muscle because it's not stand up, you know, it's literally these conversations that just kind of go wherever they go. And then it's really great because afterwards people like connect and talk and like relate to to what happened. So it's usually like the beginning of the show. It's very unnatural for me to come out just to start to launch into jokes. So I'll come out and then, you know, kind of just start talking and whatever leads me to, you know, wherever it takes me, you know what I mean? And then I'll start doing material off of the conversation. You know what I mean? So I just kind of like it. I don't have a set order. Like I can't do the same set over and over again, and you would see a man commit suicide on stage.
I get it. I understand. Well, really quick, because I got a couple more questions I want to. I've kept you for too long already. I know you're a busy man. Paul Mercurio, again, performing live this weekend, November 14th through 17th at the Comedy Club at Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. So have you enjoyed your time down here? Do you have anybody that you like to get together with when you're down here? Have you seen that Hard Rock Hotel guitar yet?
I'm staying at the hotel guitar, but I'm not a big shot, so I'm not staying in the guitar. They have a little ukulele hotel next to it. It's one room now. Come on, you get it? That's a good one.
I was literally just sitting here thinking, oh my God, I don't want to sound like an idiot. Do they actually have a little ukulele there? Because I went and toured it a couple months ago before it opened, and I'm like, I didn't see a ukulele there.
it's one room in and of itself. No, I usually see when I come here, my bookie. Well, and by see him, his two guys pick me up and they beat me up for money, and that's who I see. I got some friends that are here, and then but it's usually pretty busy. I come in, I do press during the day, and then I get a bunch of shows. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope folks can come out. It's hrcomedyclub.com for tickets. hrcomedyclub.com, and there's a show tonight, 2 Friday, 2 Saturday, and 1 Sunday, and you should try to come out too, man. It'd be fun to see you.
Oh, most definitely. No, I'm planning on coming out on Saturday, and you can also see Paul Mercurio, DC Comedy Loft in Washington, D.C., November 22nd, 23rd. He's got all of his dates coming up on paulmercurio.com. That's his website. At Paul Mercurio, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, on all the social medias. I urge you all to look up this man if you don't know about him already. Follow him. Support him. I have a couple other questions that I wanted to ask you, but I know that you're busy and you got to run, so I'll just leave you one more. Can you tell me about the time when you laughed the hardest? It doesn't have to be the perfect story. It could be when you were young.
No, when I laughed the hardest, I think when I laughed the hardest was when I heard Jay Leno tell this joke. He goes, I had a box of chicken McNuggets, and let me tell you about them. You could put a box of chicken McNuggets on the ground. A chicken could walk up to that box, look inside, and say, I see nothing that offends me here. I think that's a great joke.
Wow.
Made me laugh out loud.
So many layers.
By the way, can I mention, too, that I have a podcast, The Paul Mercurio Show. It's one-on-one interviews. And so when you're done listening to Brian's, check mine out. It's The Paul Mercurio Show. It's on iTunes and Google Play. And it's one-on-one interviews with a whole bunch of different people. I have different interests. Paul McCartney, Bill Burr, Jay Leno, Stephen Colbert, Bryan Cranston. So there's something for everybody, sports figures, authors. So I'd love people to check it out and come to see me this weekend. But thanks for having me on, man. It's been great.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on, man. Again, everybody, go and check out paulmercurio.com, at Paul Mercurio on all the social medias. Paul, you're in the Comedy Bites family now. Come back anytime.
Thank you, man. This is a lot of fun. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.